PBS Kids opens worlds of possibilities for all children, thanks to PBS stations and viewers like you.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
Are the deep woods of Western America. Hundreds of years ago, great civilizations of Indians lived here and all across the United States. Native Americans believed that the land, the rivers, and the sky were sacred and belonged to all Earth's creatures.
But other people wanted to live on this land. White men came from far across the oceans, and they had different beliefs than the Indians. They took the land and used more of its riches than they needed. Some did not love and respect the land.
For many years, the trees and animals in these forests have watched as their world changed around them. Here's the story of one of those creatures. And still, the turtle watched.
And still, the turtle watched. By Sheila McGill Callahan. Illustrated by Barry Moser. Read by Michael Ansara. Long ago, when the eagles still built their nests on the cliffs by the river, an old man and his grandson stood beside a large rock. "Here at our summer lodge," the old man said, "I will carve the turtle. He will be the eyes of Manitou, the All-Father, to watch the Delaware people. And he will be our voice to speak to Manitou. In summer, you will bring your children to the rock to greet the turtle, and they will bring their children." And so he shaped the stone. And then the turtle watched. He watched the green of summer turn to the gold of autumn. He watched the gold of autumn become the white of winter. He watched the white of winter give birth to the flowers of springtime. Then summer came again. The turtle was happiest in the summer, for then the children came, and then their children, and then their children's children. As time wore on, fewer and fewer children came to greet the turtle. "Have I watched badly?" he thought. "Does Manitou no longer hear me?" Then one day, strangers came. They did not greet the turtle. They did not speak to Manitou. Their axes chopped and killed the forest. Their shouting drowned the lark's bright music. The turtle watched, but it did not understand. He watched as stranger followed stranger. He watched white water turn brown, At night, new lights glowed near the ground. They dimmed the stars of Manitou. The little turtle grew very sad. Why do I watch, he thought. My children have not come for many moons. In the night, the turtle wept. One day, some boys came near the rock. They stopped and pointed. The turtle's heart beat faster. They've come to see me, he murmured to himself. My children have returned. Thank you, Manitou. The turtle heard a hiss. He saw a shining arc of color leap toward him. He felt cool wetness on his eyes. He could no longer see. He could no longer watch for Manitou. Deep in his darkness, he felt the cracking of his heart. No one watched for Manitou. As days, months, and years passed, and the turtle stood in darkness. Then one day, a man came. He knew that the Delaware people had once summered here. He hoped to find something they had left behind, but searched all day and found nothing. He was tired. Suddenly, he saw the rock. It stood forlorn and covered with graffiti. The turtle did not know the man was there. The paint had blinded his eyes. The paint had stopped up his ears. Then he felt a finger on his head. It stroked back along his carapace, and he shivered deep down inside. The man came back with workmen. They've hoisted it up on a truck. The truck swayed and bumped along for a long time. Then the rock was hoisted off the truck. Hands patted and rubbed the turtle. He felt sharp, smelling wetness pour over his head. And his eyes started to clear, and his ears to hear as the paint was scrubbed away. No longer is he watching by the river. He is indoors at the botanical garden, where the children come to see him, and they will bring their children and their children's children, and he will speak of them to Manitou.
Native Americans believe that every part of this forest, the trees, the streams, and the animals that live here are all related, like a big family. And sometimes, one particular animal has special meaning to a tribe or an individual. The Delaware people in the story chose Turtle to stand watch over their tribe because they consider Turtle wise. He uses wit and intelligence to defeat animals who are bigger and faster. Turtle is tough, steady, and strong. 13 plates fit together on Turtle's back, so his shell represents how all things in nature are connected. Wolf shares the joy of singing with us. Wolf is loyal. He knows that we are stronger and safer when we travel together. Wolf is loving and caring. Her pups have a patient, watchful mother. The Abenaki people call him cousin. The Penobscot call him grandfather. Bear is one of the few animals that stands upright like us. Many Indian legends speak of Bear as a healer and caretaker. One creature close to the hearts of all Americans is the eagle. The eagle is a magnificent, powerful creature. It represents beauty and strength and freedom. But the eagle is an endangered species. People are moving in on its habitat and destroying its home.
Here in Florida, where southern bald eagles nest, some people are trying to help the species survive. They've come from the Sutton Avian Research Center in Oklahoma, and they are here to find eagle eggs. They spot a nest. The mother eagle is guarding it from harm. But now, she's off to find food, and the team acts quickly. Tree surgeon Wayne Norton hurries to put on his gear. He's going where humans never go, the top of a 75-foot Florida pine tree to an eagle's nest. With the mother circling her nest, this is a very dangerous climb.
Okay, Wayne.
The eagle is a powerful bird, and no one knows for sure if she will attack to defend her nest. Each year, an eagle mother lays two eggs in her nest. If they are lost or stolen from the nest, she will instinctively lay two more eggs to replace them.
Okay, two good eggs.
Wayne wears a surgical mask and gloves to protect the eggs from bacteria, and he gently places this precious find into a soft, foam-lined container. Then, he carefully lowers them to the team below.
Okay, got it.
Now, the mother eagle will lay two more eggs when she sees the nest is empty, producing four eggs this year instead of two. On the ground below, the eagle eggs are checked to see if they're healthy.
Looks good.
Then they're placed in an incubator, safe and warm, for the ride to their new home. Later, at the Sutton Research Center, the eagle eggs are adopted by foster mothers, bantam hens. Hens are great incubators. They'll sit on these eagle eggs like they were their own till the eggs are ready to hatch. Some eaglets need a little help facing the world.
He may be getting stuck in there. So what I'm gonna do is just sort of chip away at this shell just a little. I wanna be real careful because there might be blood vessels in there too. So this is sort of a stressful part of the job when they don't come out on their own. You can see he's pushing still, so. Yeah. Okay, little guy. Okay. It looks pretty good.
Now, a bit of loving attention.
Why brush? When you fluff them up like this, it just sort of helps add insulation to them to keep them warmer.
And after a hard day's work, this little chick goes to sleep in a bed of hot water pads and warm towels. A few hours later, he's calling for breakfast. He is fed by an eagle puppet, so he thinks it's his mother. That way, he learns never to depend on humans.
Hurry.
It takes him a while to get the hang of it, but soon, he's enjoying his meal. It's 8 weeks later, and those baby chicks are beginning to look like the noble, majestic eagles we know. Their famous white head feathers won't appear until they're 4 years old. but they've already developed that classic eagle posture and stare. Now it's time for them to learn to fly. The young eagles are placed in a treetop tower with bars. Here, they can test their wings safely, learn to perch and land. All preparation for soaring through the skies.
They all look pretty good.
After 3 weeks, the team feels the eagles are ready to fly. They enter the tower, move the birds away from the edge, and remove the bars. Finally, the big moment. Will the eagles raised by the research team fly off the tower into the wild? Yes! Yes! The Sutton Project has released 275 eagles back to nature. Many have mated and started families of their own. With the help of some very dedicated people, the southern bald eagle has a much better chance to survive.
It's an extraordinary feeling when you help save an endangered animal like an eagle. But you don't have to be a scientist, an expert, or even a grown-up to help keep the earth green and healthy.
Planting trees is a way to help all living things. Here are some kids who are really working hard to spruce up their own neighborhood.
We're planting a tree here so we can make the street here look pretty.
Look at
beautiful. We can plant the tree so we're gonna get oxygen.
I pulled the whole ground up!
Whoa!
Trees are great because they give birds and squirrels homes to live in, and they give people shade.
We're planting trees so we could save the earth.
We try to relax. Whoa,
we see worms.
I think we dug deep enough.
Straight up to the sidewalk, then we'll turn it around.
Everybody push.
Okay.
Push. One more push. One more push.
One second.
I know all the jerks in the canal.
Everything together.
Why do you take that off?
Because it holds the roots together. And you have to take it off so the roots spread out, and this way it can drink the water.
So, in other words, it makes it go stronger.
Exactly.
There's a big pile right over here.
Perfect. Okay, buddy.
What kind of tree is it?
This is called a linden tree.
Make sure the tree is straight. Is the tree straight?
It's crooked a little.
That's about right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's close it up. Let's bury it. Come on, let's go.
Wow.
Why are you doing this?
It's for the water not to go out, because we don't want the water to go anywhere else, but we want it to stay in the tree.
Okay. Samantha, here.
Oh, I got it. We're planting these flowers around the tree.
to make a home so the tree's like comfortable where it is and happy.
Hand me a flower.
Whoa, in the circle now. Make a nice pudding.
No, don't play.
Here's a hole. No, look there. Chance to get
it. I feel great about this tree. And I hope it'll stay healthy and grow very much tall.
Lots of ways to appreciate the natural world around you. One way is to spend a day hiking in the woods. Breathing in this clean, fresh air, listening to the wind in the trees. Well, here are three other ways that you can get close to nature, but you don't have to take my word for it.
A long time ago, there was a river. It ran through a beautiful, thick, green forest. Here's the true story of this river. It's called A River Ran Wild. Native Americans settled by the river and named it Nashaway. River with a pebbled bottom. It was so crystal clear that you could see the pebbles. The Native Americans hunted and fished and took only the things they needed from the land. But then other people came from far away and acted as if they owned the river. These new settlers did not take care of the river. Over the years, the Nashua River became polluted. You couldn't see the pebbles anymore. Finally, people came together to save the river. I'm Alexandra, and this story shows you that people can make a difference. Once again, the pebbles shine through the clear water. The Nashua River runs wild.
Hi, I'm Emma Yeld. 13 Moons on Turtle's Back is an unusual collection of poems. These poems are from Native American tribes about the different seasons of the year. There are many Native American tribes that have legends about the moons. Baby Bear Moon was one of my favorites. This moon comes in the wintertime. This story says that a little girl was lost and adopted by bears. The frog moon and the budding moon tell about the coming of spring. Look at the strawberry moon. The colors are lovely, just like they are in nature. This is the type of book that is especially nice to read at bedtime. I'm sure if you read it, you'll enjoy it as much as I did. Remember, it's called 13 Moons on Turtle's Back.
Hi, I'm Josh, here to tell you about my first green book. That's the title. And if you're interested in science experiments and conservation, stay tuned and I'll tell you more. In this book, you'll find many ways to show your concern for our environment. There are experiments you can do, like this one. It tests for air pollution in your neighborhood. All you need are some jar lids, small labels, and a piece of cardboard. In this book, you can find out what's biodegradable and what isn't. Can you pick out which of these things will rot on their own and which won't? Look here and see. You can spend hours just leafing through this book. If you want to learn more ways to protect our environment, why don't you try this? After the program is over, go to your library and ask for my first green book.
There you go, little tree. You're all set. I hope one day your arms reach high into the sky and an eagle nests in your branches. You know, being here in this beautiful place, I can really feel that the Earth doesn't belong to us. We belong to it. And it gives us so much. So, what can we give back? We can care for our Earth and take responsibility for its future. We can do our part to make sure it stays healthy and beautiful. I'll see you next time. Today's Reading Rainbow books are And Still the Turtle Watched by Sheila McGill Callahan. Pictures by Barry Moser, published by Dial Books for Young Readers, a division of Penguin Books USA, Incorporated. A River Ran Wild by Lynn Cherry, published by Gulliver HBJ. 13 Moons on Turtle's Back by Joseph Bruchak and Jonathan London. Illustrated by Thomas Locker, published by Philomel. My First Green Book, A Life-Size Guide to Caring for Our Environment by Angela K. Wilkes, published by Alfred A. Knopf.